So I'm going to ask Marie to come and share. She's prepared something to share with us. Thanks, Marie.
Good morning, everyone. Well, my name is Marie. Thank you, Dylan. And when Dylan asked me to share something today, I was a little bit reluctant. But then I thought, what a great opportunity to introduce myself to people in the congregation I haven't yet met or who haven't met us. So I'm married to Ed, the tall, handsome, grey-haired guitarist. and we've been coming to the church since the beginning of the year. But we've been hiding behind a mask most of the time. And then, of course, the second lockdown, so not much of a chance for fellowshipping. So Ed and I live in the local neighbourhood. We live in Croydon Park. We're both retired now and still getting used to whatever that means. we are grandparents to three beautiful grandchildren. One lives in Sydney. Rachel had the common sense to marry a Sydney boy, so we see them a lot. But her brother John went a little bit farther afield and he married a Spanish girl, so they live in Spain. So we don't see them as often as we'd like to. But what I want to share with you this morning is a little something about myself, if I may. And I'll be brief. About 3 years ago, Ed and I had just come back from Spain, from seeing John. And we were feeling terrific, very energized. I especially was feeling super, super well, super energized. And I remember so distinctly saying to Ed, I feel like I'm 20 again. I don't know what's going on. It was amazing. And just a few days after that, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. A brain tumor that required a very risky operation. So in the blink of an eye, everything just... I was taking along service that year. I'd been really looking forward to it. And everything changed. The good news about my tumor was that it was benign. It was not cancerous. But everything else was bad news. unfortunately for me, it was located probably in the most congested, I think that's how they described it, part of the body. So it was near the brainstem, where all the nerves are and main arteries and all that stuff, and very hard to operate. So we knew from the beginning that it wouldn't be an easy road. It had already attached itself to a main artery, a main facial artery, and was beginning to make its presence felt. It had grown to the size that we could no longer treat it with therapy or radiotherapy, chemo or radio. So it had to come out. But the most daunting thing was being told that there were not many surgeons who were qualified to do the operation because it was so unusual, and most of them would not take that risk. So we had to find a surgeon, a neurosurgeon that was confident, but not overconfident. That was very important. So what did we do? We prayed. We prayed, and God answered that prayer, and it was the first of many prayers God answered at that time. And I'll just tell you that when I had my first MRI, which is a daunting experience in itself, I was just going through that tunnel, and suddenly it hit me. You know, I had a brain tumor, and I didn't know what it was going to look like at the end of that operation. And I had a moment where I was a bit scared. And at exactly that moment, I can tell you that I heard God's still small voice so clearly in the banging of that machine, if you've ever been in one. I heard my Savior say to me, Marie, I am with you. Trust me. I will not leave you. And from that moment, I don't know if you can understand or if I can even put it into words, from that moment I was overwhelmed with a sense of God's love and his peace. And it's a peace that never left me. I never again worried. I never questioned anything. I was never anxious. I just had this perfect peace. I don't know how to explain it. I can only quote Paul and say, it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I couldn't describe it even to Ed. And I've never known the love of God as I did then. I was filled so profoundly with his presence. And at times it was so palpable that I felt that if I looked over my shoulder, I would see Jesus. And some of you maybe have had that wonderful experience, but it's life-changing. And it's more of a life changer than a brain tumor. It's the most wonderful thing that's come out of that difficult road I've been on for 3 years. You know, when you get a prognosis that's negative, what people say most commonly is, well, this is the time to do all the things you've always wanted to do. You know, go on a cruise, splurge, treat yourself, all that stuff. I've heard friends say that to me. But nothing could have been further from our minds than anything like that. For us, it was quality time with God. And it was the most important, most precious thing. And God honors those choices. God honors those choices. If I can just fast forward to a few months later when I had my op, and I was 10 hours in surgery. If you can imagine someone inside your head for 10 hours. But when I came out of, when I woke up in ICU, I opened my eyes, I saw Ed. I felt like I'd woken from the most restful sleep. I was perfectly aware of where I was. I had no pain, no confusion. And when I saw him, I just started talking to him, lucidly, not babbling. And my brother had made his way into ICU by then. And when I saw him, I said, Petey, what are you doing here? And he later said to me, and he's repeated this to me, I was so scared. I was so scared because I didn't know what to expect. And when you open your eyes and you spoke, it was like a miracle. My brother's not a believer, I might add, but he said that twice. It was a miracle. And I was able to say that's exactly what it was, Petey. It was a miracle. I don't know. Is that a common experience when you come out of ICU? I don't know. I guess the thing I want to impress on you is that I trusted God as I never have before. I just trusted. I trusted that he knew what he was doing, that he was doing something in me. And, you know, there's that beautiful line in Isaiah 45 that says, does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? I think God knows what he's making. He knows what he's doing in us. And sometimes we just have to say, yes, Lord. It's hard, but yes, Lord. Sometimes we just have to trust. And it's at that point, I think, that we have perfect peace. We can't have peace if we don't trust. And I learned that. For all intents and purposes, my operation was a success. Clinically, they were happy because they got all the tumour out. They just left the tiny bit they had to leave so I wouldn't be paralysed. But all the other stuff that we'd heard about and read about, all those risks, well, they've become my new reality. And that's what I live with every day. And I wouldn't be honest if I didn't tell you it's very hard. this part of my head is completely numb, so this half of my face doesn't really work. I've lost a lot of hearing in my right ear. My right eye struggles to keep up with my left eye. The right half of my tongue is numb. I don't know how I can speak. I don't. Swallowing is hard on that side. But by far the worst thing is this sense of wooziness, of giddiness, of dizziness that is with me all the time. Even as I stand here, I feel really woozy. And the best way I can describe that is I feel as though I'm trying to recover from a blow to the head. It's really awful. So when you see me, you know, sort of teetering a bit, it's not because I'm inebriated, it's because I feel ghastly and giddy. I wanted to share that with you because coming to a new church family, I want to give an honest account of who I am, and I want to humbly say that I need your prayers. But I especially wanted to share with you God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. You know, trials are such a time of testing, but there's such a great time of blessing if we just know, if we just let ourselves be blessed in our trials. Knowing that I'm in God's will and that I have been and that what I'm going through is part of His will just so strengthens me. It encourages me so much, I can't tell you. I'm in a really difficult place, but I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it for anything because it's taught me to lean on His sufficiency for me. That's something that I wouldn't have done before. And that's so important in our Christian life. And look, I wanted to say a lot more, but I think I better stop. I just want to encourage you, if you're going through a troubling time, whether you're young, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're a dinosaur like me, trust that God knows what He's doing. Trust that He's actually doing something beautiful in you, something amazing. Trust Him. Because we serve an amazing God, and He will give you the strength you need, because He's given that to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie, for sharing that, and we would keep you in our prayers. And it is important to share and to encourage, and also those things that were shared are important, that we can pray in a meaningful way when we are praying for one another. I've got Jason here with us, and he's going to share a little bit about what he has been learning in the past few months. Thanks, Jason.
Morning, everyone. I'm so glad to have the opportunity to share with you this morning. During last a few months, I have studied the book of Numbers with Dylan. I'm going to summarize three lessons that I learned. The first, keeping records. The book of Numbers records the Israelites traveled from Egypt to the Promised Land. It tells how the Israelites moved, the route they followed, the mistakes they made, the consequences they faced, and the nature of God, His faithfulness to the Israelites. So now, how do we translate this to our journey with Christ? Journaling our walk with the Lord helps us to build up our spiritual life. Writing our prayer request can help us see when and how God answers them. It is essential to record and remember what God has done for us. not to repeat our mistakes, and to thank God for the ways He leads us. Second, being grateful. After God rescued Israelites from the Egyptians, they became tired of the journey and complained that they missed everything they had in Egypt. The issue is not their desire, but their response. Instead of grumbling, they should have been grateful and asked God to fulfill their desire. It's so easy to judge the Israelites. But how many times do we find ourselves in a similar position? In our life, we have desires at different times. An excellent response is being grateful for what we have and asking God to fulfill our desires His way. Third, trusting in God's word. The 10 bad spies look at the situation around them and made a practical and logical assessment of their task that God gave to them. They see difficulties and rebel. On the contrary, Joshua and Caleb, the two good spies, they believed God's words, that they would have the land, even when what they saw seemed impossible and exhausting. Their eyes were on God's promise and not on the circumstances around them. As a consequence, the 10 spies couldn't enter the promised land. When we look at circumstances and situations around us, we also make choices that are practical and logical to us. So, is there hope if we made the wrong choice? Yes. Jesus paid for the wrong decisions we make. Some of our choices may have consequences. The promise is that God will be with us when we go through them. However, it does require us to acknowledge our mistakes, repent of our choices, and accept Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us, and willingly follow His direction. God expects us to move forward with faith and trust, like Joshua and Caleb did, that in whatever situation we face, we believe God's promises will come to pass in our lives. It has been good to read the Bible with someone because there are so many things I can't understand. I have learned a lot in the past few years as I read the Bible with Delaine. So I encourage you also to find someone to read the Bible with. So I'm sure it will help you both. Thanks, God. God bless you.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, so that was one of our lockdown activities. We read the Bible together. And it's wonderful that we could do that. And I'm glad that God has been teaching and it was a good experience. You know, our salvation, our lives, that everything we have is all God's grace for us in Christ Jesus, isn't it? And we cannot boast that we have earned all those things or we have done everything. And as Marie mentioned, it has been God all along. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Galatian church in chapter 6, verse 14, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." So let us remember that our worth comes from Him. Our value, our identity comes from Him. So we're going to sing our next song together, which reminds us our greatest treasure, our value, comes from Jesus.